Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You have reached American Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young, speaking. And we're going to be joined by Phyllis also in a few seconds or minutes. Tonight's topic is no-fat diet, low brain function. Is a low-fat diet good for the body? What is the right amount of fats one should consume per day and still lose weight? If your body is not taking in any fats, what can happen to the brain? Another hot topic tonight, Selena Lindsay will not be able to be on the show today, but Phyllis will be on the show from Straight Talk. So this is a hot topic. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I know they were concerned about giving children the non-fat milk because it has no fat in it, and parents putting kids on low-fat diets, that was not healthy for the brain. There's a lot of research going on about this, or they already know, really, that you do need a certain amount of fat in your diet. So if you are one of those that love low-fat diets, then you really need to be listening to this broadcast, especially if you're a senior citizen and or you're getting older. The brain has to have a certain amount of fat in order to function properly. I know some of the hot things are the keto diet, or people say eat maybe protein, carbs, and fat, but everything has to still be done within reason, because if it's not, that's where we get ourselves in trouble. Hi, Phyllis. Are you on the line? Okay. Do I have someone, 951 area? Hello? Hello? And it's 272-3766. Okay. I guess they've left the phone for a few minutes. Let's make sure I'm... Yeah, I think you can hear me. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. When you're looking at how much fat, the average amount of fat even if you're trying to lose weight, should be at least 50 grams. 50 grams is not too much. They said 50. Carbs, they said you can still lose weight and have 50 to 150 carbs per day. Protein, that's another thing. You should consume the right amount of protein. Protein, they do it by body weight. So if you want to know how much, you should have 0.8 per kilogram of body weight, or 0.36 grams per pound. So take 0.36 grams, multiply that by your weight, and that's the amount of protein you should have per day. All of these things are very, very, very important, because not to have them is not good. Again, this is American Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young speaking, and we're talking about having a no-fat diet and low brain function, because fat, that's a lot of people love the keto diet because it's another way, instead of using sugar into the cells to burn or for energy, they're using fat instead. But it's still advised that keto diet shouldn't be like a permanent thing, because you can end up with problems. Staying on that forever, you're going to run into trouble. And that one, your body is, instead of using sugar for energy, it's using fat for energy. And yeah, you can lose weight. But however you lose weight, you still want to be healthy. You don't want to be unhealthy and losing that weight. Just a moment, please. I was just, I can't hear for some reason. I'm hoping that the line is still open the way it's supposed to be. Not sure if we're running into technical difficulties. Sometimes that does happen. I'm hoping it's not happening now. Okay, just one moment. Okay. Okay. I'm not able to hear the other person where you guys can hear them. But that's okay. I'm going to have to just keep going. Okay. There are different types of fat that we should be aware of. And so some of them are healthy, and some are not so healthy. And that's a problem, too. You have what you call monounsaturated fats that are...
Hello?
Hi. Oh, I couldn't hear you before. Are you there? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello, Phyllis? Phyllis?
Yes, I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on my telephone, but you're not on the Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm on 858-769. Let me call again. Okay,
no,
bye-bye.
Yeah, you didn't call the right number.
Okay, I'm going to call again.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have monounsaturated fats. They're found in plant foods like anything from your olive oil to your nuts. Plants, you know, nuts are like your plant food. Avocado is too. Then you have what you call polyunsaturated fats. Those are considered a healthy fat also. Oh, remember this here. Okay. Let me see if I get her back on the line.
Hello,
hello
Paula. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. What I was doing is going over some of the different healthy fats, like your monounsaturated. I mentioned that's like your olive oil, avocado, nuts, your plant foods like nuts. Polyunsaturated fats. That's where you have your omega-6 fatty acid, also omega-3. Certain fish have these. And some of your egg farms have omega-3 in the egg itself. You also have what they call saturated fats. That's your animal. Normally that's found in animal products and dairy. Then you have trans fat. That's the man-made one, like in some of your processed foods. And things like that. It's been in some places, some of, like especially the trans fat, have been banned because, especially in the United States, they say it's been banned. But FDA has the FDA 0.5 and below, it doesn't exist. So if a person have 2 or 3 servings of that. Now you have over the amount of trans fat, and you see a lot of that in potato chips, or if you have a whole bag, most people eat half of the bag. So now they're in trouble with the amount of fat that's coming from the chips. Because what's happened here, it can raise what they call your bad cholesterol, the LDL
cholesterol, and it can lower the good one. That's the HDL cholesterol. So some amounts of trans fat can occur naturally in animal products too, like the fat. You know, that's why a lot of times people cut the fat off their meat. But even with that, you still have to have a certain amount of fat, because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. Can you still hear me, Phyllis?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. So, and then we got to keep in mind, if there isn't a balance, and it does interfere with enzymes and hormones and, you know, causing the body to go wacko that way too. So it's not that you can have more of one or less of one. There has to be a balance, but you don't want trans fats anyway. Those are considered the bad fats, even though most people read labels. Well, I don't know if everybody does, but so read the label and it'll say zero trans fat. That means 0.5. So there's always trans fat present, but there's what they call the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, rule. 0.5 means zero. That's here in the United States. Abroad, Europe, the foreign countries don't do that. Zero means zero. They don't have no such thing as 0.5 means zero. That's only done here. And so if you're eating that 3 servings, then you had over the amount of trans fat, and that's how you end up with those clogged arteries and other things going wrong. But go ahead. You can join in at any time. Go ahead.
What did you say?
I said you can go ahead and join in at any time.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I'm just really listening right now because, you know, if
okay.
they get it on their app, MyFitnessPal.com, it'll have the breakdown of the protein, the carbs, and something else, and the fat. And then if you pay extra, you can get this free. But if you pay extra for MyFitnessPal.com, it'll be more custom for you. It might have more breakdown for you. But it has a lot of stuff on there that's great. It tells you
yeah.
the breakdown.
And then most physicians will advocate that you should have some fat within every meal.
Mm-hmm.
And including like a plant-based, of, you know, your unsaturated fat. You can also, a meal or your snack can have a fat in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very important. And the older you get, you're going to want maximum brain function. I can guarantee if you ain't eating those 3 meals and you ain't got no fat in your diet, your brain is not going to function at the level it should. And you keep that up for a long period and you end up with early dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people, they're going into that
yeah,
spiritual eating, they call it.
Yeah, the senior citizens, and they should.
Yeah, a lot
but,
of people going into that intermittent fasting, where they
mm-hmm.
eat maybe 3 meals a day or 2 meals a day, and they eat at a block of time and healthy in a block of time, then they cut it off. But it just depends mm-hmm. on how long you can go between meals. They can go from 12 to 16 hours to 18 hours, and sometimes 24 hours before you get your next meal. It just depends on your energy.
I would never recommend a diet like that for someone.
Well,
that's
it's not
old.
A diet; it's a way of living. I know a lot of people are on intermittent fasting, and they've been on it for years. They're doing really good because they did that, I guess, many years ago, where they eat maybe 2 or 3 meals and cut it off. But it just depends on your. On you as an individual, how long you can go between meals. You're giving your body chances to break down. First, it breaks down the sugar in your body that period of time, and then it starts breaking down the fat. Then that's when you start losing weight, when it starts burn the sugar first, and then it breaks down the fat, and then the weight, you know, in the
so
pounds.
So the intermittent fast is done for what purpose?
Well, you know what? It's I've been hearing it on the news and stuff. That's where a lot of people are now.
My question is it for diet purpose?
No, it's a way of living. You know, you give your body chances to regenerate in between meals, you know, like your last meal of the day. You give your body chance to break down all the food you have for that day. It starts breaking down the sugar first. It's like a refrigerator. Then it gets rid of the fat, and then that's when your body starts to really loosen weight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are into that now. Was reading under a doctor.
Yeah, but my question is it for a lifestyle or is it
for... Well, you know what? I like doing it because I just eat two meals a day, you know. It's going to be for me. I don't know how long I'm going to do it, but so far I've been on it for a while. And, you know, we'll just go day by day and see what happens, you know. This is the doctor.
I don't know enough about the intermittent diet. If
mm-hmm.
someone's normal weight, is that something they should be doing? Or
well, no, you have to really, it's on an individual basis. You need to really consult your doctor before you go into that because, you know, somebody
mm-hmm.
might be suffering from diabetic, being a diabetic one or two. And I hear the diabetic people, they have to eat a certain amount of meals a day and whatnot. But I know the doctor's doctor, Jason Fong, F-O-N-G, he was the grandfather of intermittent fasting because he's a kidney specialist. And he treated a lot of people with diabetic 1 and 2. And so he figured it out. You know, they eat all day long, and that's why their body cannot regenerate, and their insulin, you know, their sugar and whatnot keep going up. So when he started getting his patient on intermittent fasting, they reversed that diabetic too, at least the diabetic too, and they started losing weight, and their A1C went down. So, yeah, if you Google it all up on YouTube video, you'll be able to hear him. He's all over the world. He's one of those well-known doctors, MD, kidney specialist, and he specializes in people that suffer, that have diabetics, that are diabetic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I listen to him from time to time because he has different things in intermittent fasting. He talks on different subjects in that area. So far, it's working for me. And I told some people about it, and they got on it, and they appear to be liking it, you know. I know I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to eat healthy within that time block as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to have a good, well, what everybody looks at, they're looking at how much protein, how much
mm-hmm.
carbs, how many calories, how much fat, and how much sugar. Those are the areas that it seems like everybody looks at. The average person don't know, well, how much protein can I have a day? And the doctors are saying you should have at least 0.36 grams for how many pounds you weigh. And then for carbs, they're telling us you can have, and still lose weight. And see, I didn't know this. And you'll lose it slowly, not fast. You would have 50 to 150 grams of carbs a day. No, you're not going to lose, you know, your big poundage real fast, but the weight will still come off.
Mm-hmm.
Calorie intake, that depends on the person, and again, you have to talk to your doctors about these things. The average person may be on 1,500 to 2,000 versus being on a 3,000 calorie diet. 3,000, you're maintaining whatever your size is. When you drop it down to the 1,500 grams to 2,000 grams, you've lowered your calorie intake. But at the same time, you still got to pay attention to the fat. The bottom
mm-hmm.
line is it has to be a balance. For brain function and to give you energy, like sugar would, you should have a minimum, and you will still lose weight, 50 grams of fat. And hopefully you're exercising also. You're just not eating and no exercise because exercise.
And hopefully you're reading the labels too. You guys need to pay
yeah.
attention to the labels because they have a lot of sugar in these these labels, and they have it under a different name. So you have to be able to, maybe you can go on Google it and get your sugar list, and they'll tell you what are some of the sugar, what's another name for sugar. And if you can't pronounce it and whatnot, that means, you know, for me, if I can't pronounce all these, you know, ingredients, well, it must not be for me, because some of it I shouldn't be eating, but I have to learn how to read the labels as well. So they've got a lot of names for sugar. And if you're not familiar with the different names for sugar, you think it's fat-free and all that, but it got that sugar in there, but under a different name. So I advise everybody maybe to go to the Google search and search for substitute for sugar. You know, another name for sugar, I should say. Mm-hmm.
It's fructose.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. You can go on the internet and get a lot of that stuff off the internet, and you can even go with good for high fiber. You know, you can go on the internet and Google high fiber, and they'll give you a list of food with high fiber in there as well. You know, good fat versus bad fat. You can Google that on the internet as well too, and get your list.
Yeah, there was one person that stated that you should have 20 to 35% of your calories from fat. If you're in doubt, how much should I have? A good standard, talk to a dietitian, talk to your doctor, and they will tell you, or they should be able to tell you, how much, what percentage of calories should come from fat that will be in your diet. You can begin to add up when you read those labels how much fat is in your diet, and then go from there. And still talk to your doctor, but to starve yourself of all fat is not healthy at all, especially if you're concerned about brain function. And your average older person, the one thing if you look at it, a lot of them don't eat right. Or they eat one meal a day. And that does affect brain function. You wouldn't do a baby like that. A baby would never, ever, ever have no one bottle a day or all their feeding in one setting. And I think the older the person is, you really need to consider what you're putting in your body, because if you're not, then you're not worried about brain function at all. There are those out there that are listening right now. You don't even eat breakfast in the morning. No breakfast means, like your car, if your car was on empty, ain't no way you're going to go anywhere with zero gas in the tank. You're not going to do it because you're not going to go anywhere. The body works the same way. Nothing in the morning. Your blood sugars are at its lowest level. It's like having no gas. You want energy. You got to put something in the tank. And some people say, well, I'm more energetic. No, you're not. You're not at maximum. Yeah, you have energy.
Some people just don't eat breakfast in the morning. They might have their first meal around 11 o'clock. They might have a late breakfast. Because I know I eat between, my first meal comes between 11 and 3.
Yeah.
And if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat. I'll eat around between 11 and 3, maybe 2 o'clock I'll start eating. Therefore, I won't have any breakfast. You know, I've been doing this for a while, not eating breakfast.
I normally eat a breakfast, even if it's piece of toast and some juice or fruit and toast. I will put something in my body. I treat my body the way I do a car. I have to have maximum energy. I got to go out and teach a class. There's no way I'm going to go try and teach a class on zero calories. Won't do it. The brain doesn't function the same.
And I try to drink a lot of water when I get up, too.
Zero. Try to take a major exam on zero. Guarantee you don't function the same. I remember in college that happened. One of my friends, she's a doctor now. Her name was Margaret. She was from Nigeria. Margaret helped me with the chemistry. I passed. Margaret didn't pass. And Margaret said she didn't eat breakfast, and when she tried tried it, and it was not an easy exam. Her brain went blank, all because she didn't put the fuel that's necessary. Most of us didn't have And I know, and I ate my traditional breakfast because I knew I needed brain power. But to put nothing to the brain, you are not the same. I tried it even once. I was doing an instructor level course, and by the third day, they didn't bring out transitional brunch. So I figured I'll be okay. No, I wasn't. I was all over the place with my thinking and the way I spoke. I stopped. After 10 minutes, I stopped what I was doing and told my niece, orange juice and toast. Then I could resume. So I got to see the effect of what zero going into the body, what that really means. All I know is there's too much proof to show we may feel we're operating at maximum, but if they ran tests, it would show that you're not. So I never did that again. So
I know what really helped me in the morning when around 10 o'clock, between 9 and 10, or 10:30, I have one tablespoon of that sad vinegar, mother vinegar, one tablespoon to 4 ounces of water, and a half a lemon, squeeze it in there and drink it with a straw. That sustained me for another 2 or 3 hours. That's like a natural diet pill without a real diet pill. So that's been really helping me. I do that twice a day. Do that before my first meal, and then I do it right before dinner, 30 minutes before dinner, an hour or whatever, at least 30 minutes before dinner, and that I eat less that way. And it fills me up with that vinegar and water and that lemon before I have my meal. Now, that works for me. I had to really fine-tune that vinegar and get it right just for me, you know.
For nutritional value. You did that for doctors, right?
What'd you say?
You didn't do that for nutritional value.
No, I'm just doing it for cutting down on my eating without taking some type of diet pill. You know, it helps, gives me energy, it works, gets your blood pressure down. It does a lot. That sad vinegar, unfiltered, raw, it has I Google it, and sometimes I have to Google it over and over, and it has a lot of benefits from taking that apple cider vinegar, but people have different ways of taking it. Very different ways. I saw it on Dr. Oz.
Most of the time when they're saying take that, that's so that when you do eat, you fill up a lot faster versus continuing to eat. More, it slows you down from eating too much food. I've never, ever in my lifetime, I want to just say this one point. I've never, ever seen an athlete try to go run a marathon on vinegar and water and call it energy. It doesn't happen. They would never win. That's why even on Dr. Oz, he didn't say for energy. It's to fill you
up. No, I don't do it for energy. It gives me. It has different benefits for apple cider vinegar. You have to Google it, anybody's listening. And you Google it and see the benefits of drinking apple cider vinegar. There's different ways you can drink it. I know what works for me, and it might not work for everybody else, but I'm so glad I do that twice a day because it makes a difference when I'm off of it for a while.
But I mean, because you're not getting nutrients from that, but you still eat, right?
Yeah, I still eat, but I won't eat as much. It cuts down the appetite.
Right,
right.
And Dr. Oz on his show, that's what he said.
It fills me up. And,
yeah.
I don't know if I'll do it all the rest of my life, but right now while I'm losing weight, you know, it's working for me. It took me a while to get used to it and see what.
Uh-huh.
It took me a while to get the right amount of vinegar in my body without having any type of negative effect. And I got it down now. I'm so happy.
Oh, that's great. And, and the dietitian will say what works, but still you got to have, you know, things that have the fat, the protein, the carbs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
vibration in order for it effectively. But the average person don't know that you got to have a certain amount of fat in your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that's for energy and brain function, especially brain function.
Yeah, and somebody probably can, if they're listening, they could see if their insurance will pay for a dietitian. A dietitian should have a lot of knowledge with the fat, how much fat you're supposed to get, carbs, protein, and all that. And then another rule of thumb is the plate that you eat on. The half of it should be vegetables, and a little small portion of those that eat meat, you know, but the biggest part of that plate, the half of it should be filled up on one side with vegetables, and then you got a little part for the meat and for the carbs. You know, I took a lot of dietitian classes, and they brought the plate in and showed us what our plate needs to look like.
Yes. Again, if anybody just joined in, this is American Health Crisis. You're listening to Paulette Young and Phyllis. I keep wanting to give you the wrong last name. What is your last name?
McNeil.
McNeil. You listen to Phyllis McNeil from Straight Talk. She's also part of Fathers and Family Coalition of America. Their conference is coming up February 24th through the 27th, and she's going to be one of the people that will be presenting a workshop there. And it's called, it's the next level, or their 21st Annual Families and Father Conference. February 24th through the 27th, and it's being held at the Hilton Los Angeles Airport, 5711 Century Boulevard. And there's a number you can call, 424-225-1323, if you'd like to register for the conference. And that's coming up within, that's the end of February. So they are.
Yeah, if you're a provider out there, like social worker needs your units, a lot of those workshops, you'll be able to get your units to apply with your license, psychologists, therapists, and clinicians, and stuff like that. But you can go on the website and see what classes are accredited or not, you know, workshops that you can get your units, your credit.
So start off, first question I was, is a low-fat diet good for the body? I would say absolutely not. Not if you want total brain function. You need a certain amount of good fat in your system, and to pay attention to zero trans fat. Zero trans fat is never zero. This is the United States, and we have what we call the Federal Drug Administration rule, 0.5 is what that is. It's never going to be zero. It's 0.5. It's equal to zero according to Federal Drug Administration, or abbreviated FDA. So, and then we also talk about what is the right amount of fats one should consume per day. And you can talk to, and this especially for people that want to lose weight, they're always trying to starve their body of all the fats, and that is not the healthy way of losing weight. You can still lose weight and have 50 grams of fat. And then I mentioned some of the healthy fats, like your monounsaturated, polyunsaturated. Some of the ones that are coming from your plant-based foods, like the nuts and things like eggs and stuff like that. But if your body is not taking in the right amount of fat, or some fat, period, that is not healthy for your brain. And as Phyllis McNeil said, you can always Google and look up some of this information for yourself. And I still advocate it's a balance. You should know you should have the right amount of protein per day, the right amount of carbs, right amount of calories, right amount of fat and sugar. When you have a balance of the right amount for you to be able to continue to lose weight, or if you have to maintain weight, then your body will feel better rather than out of sorts. And those are some of the things you do want to do. I'm going to give, because we do have some extra minutes here, and I'm going to give Phyllis McNeil a chance to share with you some things that's going to come up in her workshop on February 24th and 27th. Do you know the date that you're going to be actually workshop?
The 27th, which is a Thursday. The Thursday I'm going to be giving my workshop. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Why don't you tell them some of the things that will be presented in your workshop? And you said they get some educational credit, correct?
Yeah. Well, not in my workshop, but there's going to be some workshops that you could get educational credit if you have to get your license credit, for your therapist, you need, social worker, LCSW, MST, if you need to get your units and whatnot. Every so many years, you have to have so many units. Some of the workshops are certificate programs. You can get your credit, your units, and it'll satisfy your license. But not in my workshop.
Mm-hmm.
My workshop is titled The Impact of Faith in a Proven Mentoring Program, because in the Straight Talk program, I do all the mentoring, and my program is based on faith. Without faith, you have to have some faith in the people that you're mentoring for me, and you got to give them some hope, and, you set boundaries and whatnot, and you build from that into them, so you can give them encouragement, motivate them. But they have to believe, if they can dream it, they can achieve it. Whatever goal they set for themselves, as long as it's realistic goals for themselves, and they're going to have to get out and do the work and make the sacrifice. So that's what my workshop is all going to be about. Unstoppable faith, You have unstoppable faith, ain't nobody can get in your way, because you're working hard, you're making the sacrifice to get where you want to go in life, regardless of your disabilities, because a lot of people in Straight Talk, they have some learning disability. I even have a learning disability, got disabilities, but we don't let our disability dictate our future, or be a destiny for our future or whatnot. We keep going, because just because you have disabilities, you can still make it. You can still become successful. Mm-hmm. Living out your dreams. Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to be doing that workshop. So anybody's listening, that workshop's going to be a very good workshop. I have some testimony sharing of people that I'm mentoring and, things that they have done in their life through faith. You got to have faith. You got to have hope. You got to be a dreamer. Mm-hmm. Can't never give up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell them the audience a little bit about your Straight Talk program.
My program has been around, this is the 30th year, January 17. I opened up the program January 17, 1990, 30 years ago. So I hit my 30-year anniversary this month. And I deal with people that are formerly incarcerated that are no longer going in and out that prison door. They're paying it forward in the community, whether it be a youth or adult, and they go out testimony sharing. They use their life experiences, what led them to their life of crime, and they tell the listening audience, learn from us. You don't have to go out there and, whatever you do in life, if you've committed crime, you think you're slick, you ain't going to get caught. You will get caught. So that's the message that we tell the audience. We go to the elementary school all the way up to the university level. We speak on community forums as well, workshops, symposium. We talk on a variety of subjects. And that's one part of the program. And then I do the mentoring myself. I mentor youth. And if the youth don't get themselves together, it goes right into the adult. So I also mentor the adult as well. And sometimes I have to restructure and mentor the whole family needs structuring. I do that. I do advocacy work for people that don't have a voice of maybe going into the court system. I don't go to everybody's court. I sit there with somebody that's going either to a juvenile. They got into trouble as a juvenile, as an adult. I go sit in the court, and, I study their case, and I tell them what to do and whatnot. And if they don't do what I tell them to do, I just leave, because I'm not going to keep telling them to go right and to go left. But I think everybody deserves a chance. So the program is very effective. I have a very high success rate. And I deal with people never been in trouble with the law. Everybody have a story to tell, and some of the people never been in trouble with the law. We have one goal in common, to help each other out in the community, help the people in the community with the gift that we've been given through the grace of God. And we just put it together, whether you've been incarcerated or not been incarcerated. Me, myself, I was an at-risk youth. So I tell everybody, hey, look, I was something else as a kid growing up, and I had some issues, but I had a strong desire to make something out of my life. It didn't come overnight, but it was a lot of work, and I had two guardian angels that helped me. So mentoring empowers life. People, mentoring people without hitting agendas, you can make a difference in people's life by mentoring them. I know I never will forget my two guardian angels. I call them my mentor. One was my therapist, one was my mom when I was the last placement in the community. So I had some powerful people, guardian angels, that helped me. So that's all I'm doing. It's paying it forward, my way of saying thanks for the help that I got when I was so desperately needed. Oh, yeah, and if you want to call me, it's a Straight Talk number. It's 951-272-5747. That's 272-5747. My website is straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, talk, T-A-L-K, heals, H-E-A-L-S, .org. Please go to that website, and if you click onto the website, and at the bottom of the other web, you can go to the next website. I have two websites. You go to one, you go to the other. There's a lot of testimony sharing and a lot of information, other things that we do as far as Straight Talk.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
If you want her information, we're hoping some of you will be coming out to that great, great national conference.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have people from all over the globe there. A lot
mm-hmm.
of excitement, a lot of education. But the same problems we have here in the United States, we have in Australia, Africa, South America, China, and people that are all the various countries will be represented, because they're all part of the Fathers and Family Coalition of America. Again, if you need to reach someone, it's 424-225-1323, 23 for that conference.
And you go to my website, and it'll take you right to the conference. I have a link on there, and you go to services on my website, and you'll see the 21st Annual Fathers and Families Conference. You click on that, and you can go right into their website. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our American Health Crisis, we normally come on the first Monday of every month. Next week we'll be featuring some of the speakers from Fathers and Family Coalition of America, so, and that's going to be on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So if you want to hear some of the speakers, they're very dynamic, so that you can know what we're talking about when it comes to what we're talking about, this great national, or you might as well say international, conference for February 24th through the 27th. Hope you've learned something about the importance of having fat in your diet and not no fat at all, because you do need brain fat. So we'll be on the air again for the American Health Crisis portion next month, Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. For Fathers and Family Coalition of America, we'll be on again. We will be on the air next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you. All you have to do if you want to talk, you have to press that 1. Other than that, I can't hear you. I can see your number, but I can't hear you. 858-769-36 and press 1. And if you want, you don't have to talk, but if you want to ask a question or share something with the audience, you can. The broadcast goes all over the world. All right. Thank you. Bye.